Nehemiah chapter 8, there in your Old Testament.
If you have a hard time finding it, it is tucked away. If you go to the book of Psalms and then just kind of flip back three or four books, and you'll run right into Nehemiah and right before the book of Job and Esther. So you just keep flipping there until you find Nehemiah chapter 8. We should be able to finish up chapter 8 this morning. It has been a blessing and joy to my heart to be able to study through this book and to preach. I hope that you've been able to benefit from it as I have. Just the things God's teaching us and helping us in our church. I do believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit leads the pastor to what to study. I believe depending on what the church needs, what the pastor needs, and what the church needs, whatever season we be in. A lot of times I have no idea what that is, quite frankly. I pray, I seek God's face, I say, Lord, I don't know exactly what you want me to preach. I know I can't go wrong by preaching God's word in general, but I certainly do pray that God would give us specifically what we need as a church. Because the Holy Spirit can take a passage and apply it to every single one of our lives as individuals and to be able to apply the Word of God. And that's a miracle. Amen. And so I'm just thankful that you are participating in the study. Sunday nights, we're going right now through the book of Romans and should be able to finish up chapter 13 tonight. Is one of my goals. I hope I can. And then we are going to be going into chapter 14 in the coming weeks, which is a very interesting chapter. But nevertheless, we are here with Nehemiah learning from our dear brother as a servant leader of God. Wow, we've seen so many ups and downs through the battles. And hey, isn't that many times the Christian life when it comes with seasons of battles, seasons of rest? It's just, that's life. And you, I don't know what season you're in right now. Some of you may be going through a raging battle at this very moment. And I don't know if you are or not. Some of you coming out of one. Some of you getting ready to go into one. But hey, listen, we just have to be vigilant. And we just have to let God's Word do its work in our lives. And I want to say once again, I saw at first, I had a front row seat to God's working this past week. And it was a battle many times, but God just continued to give us His peace and His favor, even in the midst of some attacks. We just kept on preaching. We kept on teaching. We kept on serving. We kept on loving. We kept on seeking to serve the mighty God. And that's what it's all about. That's why we're here. We just keep on keeping on. And I appreciate you, church, doing that. And that's where we're going to do until God calls us home. Well, young people, I'm going to give you an outline, and I hope you'll get it. So if you got a pen and paper, you can write on the bulletin. If you don't, you can memorize it. It's that easy. It's the outline I'm going to use for this morning's message, and it's actually the title. So if you actually get the title down, you will have the outline down. Don't always do that, but that's what we're going to do this morning. But before I give you that, let's dive right into the reading of God's Word. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 13. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, that's the preacher, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of fig trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth. I want you to underline that and write around it. Obedience. Obedience. That is so important. That's exactly what we see there in verse 16. Obedience. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths. everyone upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. If you don't understand right now what they're doing, you will here in just a moment. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. And for since the days of Jeshua, which is Joshua, the son of Nun, unto the day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. That's a very important verse to understand the context of what we have here. There was very great gladness. Also, verse 18 says, day by day, and from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. That's Ezra the preacher. And they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled, Hearing, Receiving, and Obeying. 3 points. Hearing, receiving, and obeying. I could also, if we wanted to give a little catchy title to this message, I could title this, Happy Living in a Lean-To. Happy Living in a Lean-To. Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Father, I am just thrilled beyond measure, Lord, in You, in who You are. Thank You for giving us a season of revival and just encouragement. I'm just so thankful, God. I'm so very thankful how You're working. And Lord, we just want to be obedient. We want to keep walking in the Spirit. We want You to have Your way in this local assembly, Your church. We pray for breakthroughs. We pray, God, that the devil would be defeated. Oh, in our lives and those around us, Lord God, where He's seeking to keep strongholds and build strongholds. God, we want to be faithful. And I pray this morning as we look to Your Word that You would open our hearts and minds. And God, speak to every person very personally this morning. And God will give You the praise. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. Amen. Hearing, receiving, and obeying. That's the example we have of the children of Israel here with Nehemiah as their servant leader. Not only Nehemiah, but Ezra. Ezra, the preacher. You remember Ezra came on the scene in chapter 7. And Ezra started preaching. That's why God's people love preaching. Should love preaching. We talked about that in the last message. Well, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. And the Lord does a stirring through preaching. And I'm grateful for that. And so we're seeing the fruit of the stirring before us, even going in to chapter 8. All kinds of emotions. But one thing unique about this chapter, and young people, I want you to note, there is an important feast that God is going to bring special attention to in this chapter. You'll remember this. It's called the Feast of the Tabernacles. Or you could call it the Feast of the Tents. The Feast of the Tents. And there was a reason for that. What would you all think if Pastor stood up here and said, I have a special announcement to make. I got an idea for us all to participate in. I think we ought to have a church-wide camping trip. Raise your hand if you would be excited about that. Raise your hand if you would not be excited about that. Half and half. You carnal folks will have to go with us, all right? I'm just kidding. Camping, I personally think that would be absolutely amazing if we could do that. Rent out a campground, and those of you that want to, just want to be more comfortable, you could maybe get a cabin or something. We would call that your tent, okay? And so, nevertheless, we all rented out the whole campground, and there was bunch of tents set up, and man, we had campfires and we had testimonies and we were praising God and rejoicing. There was singing going on. There's praying going on. I mean, that would be an awesome camping trip. Maybe God will allow us to do it sometime that way. I personally think that might be a good idea. I don't know how it would all work out. But how many young people would like to do a church-wide camping trip? Oh, yeah. Look at those young people. All right, parents, you see those hands, all right? Well, I'm being a little silly, but at the same time, I'm being serious. That's what the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Tents was. It was a time that God commanded Israel to build some tents with sticks and branches, and they were to live under that tent for a week. And the purpose for that is because when God delivered them from bondage, from Egypt, there was a wandering in the wilderness. You remember the 40 years? You've heard about the children of Israel. They were carnal. They weren't obeying God, so they had to spend more time in the wilderness doing circles. By the way, when you live to yourself, you will find yourself doing a very uncomfortable circle in life. Until we catch on and say, oh, I got you, Lord. Let me submit to that. But they finally were able to break through after a generation died. They took them on into to the promised land where Joshua took them in. But nevertheless, it was for them to remember how God provided for them in the wilderness. And it was, I'm sure the kids loved it. Hey, and it wasn't, they didn't have fans and all these other things, a couple of things we have. When they camped out, it got hot, but they were in tents that they built, and it was a joyous occasion. And that's what we see here being reinstalled, if you will. There had been a lack of celebrating this feast because, again, they got away from God. And it was always to trigger their memory of how good God is. Folks, that's why we have the Lord's table. I hope anytime you see the Lord's Supper written in the bulletin or announced here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church, I pray that a flag will shoot up in your heart saying, I look forward to that. And because what we do, Jesus commanded it, and what that Lord's table is to do is to help us be stirred up in remembering Him. And so that's what these feasts were for, and that's the one that's going to be reinstalled. So again, what feast is that? That's the Feast of the Booths, as we see here, but also called the Tabernacles or the Tents. And we see clear instruction given in that in Leviticus chapter 23. Moses was used of God to instruct how that would be. It was also called the Feast of Ingathering. And it was at a time of year in the seventh month of the Jewish calendar there where it was harvest time. So, we're coming up on harvest time, right? Brother Charles had a nice fresh tomato. Man, I was kind of, my mouth was watering, Brother Charles, when you were holding up that tomato. I was like, man, that looks good. He was using it as an illustration. But now we're starting to get some harvest. Well, this feast was during the harvest time of the season for the Jewish people. It lasted 7 days. So they camped out 7 days, praising God, worshiping, and then that eighth day was a solemn day for just not doing any work, not doing anything, being quiet and reflective and seeking the Lord and remembering who God is. That's what we have here. Now you remember at first when Ezra started preaching in chapter 8, the people were so thankful to hear the Word of God, right? They heard the Word of God. There's the hearing. Everybody here in this sanctuary is hearing this morning what I'm saying. I assume you're hearing. And I trust you will hear. That's important. But you know, that's just the first step. Hearing the Word of God. You know, you can come into a church like this or any church and you can hear what the preacher says and stop right there and rob yourself of a blessing. You can come and just let it go through one ear and out the other. Perhaps you can be zoned out thinking about other things and you miss what the Holy Spirit is wanting to teach you through His Word. That's why I'm so thankful you attend church. You come to church to hear the Word of God. But then, not only did they hear it, The Bible says they received it. How do we know the people of God received the Word of God? And what's the difference between hearing and receiving? Hearing starts in the head. Receiving goes down to the heart. The goal in my preaching is to all three elements to be there in the life of this church. What does that look like? That means you hear the Word of God. Then you receive it to your heart. You start making application. This morning we heard a wonderful lesson on meekness. The goal is to hear that and to receive it and apply it to our hearts. And when they did it, they just broke down. There was meekness. Remember last 2 weeks ago I preached? They were devastated. How could we have missed this? How could we have neglected this feast? How could we just been so messed up that we have missed the will of God in this area? And they were just broken. Now, it was okay to be broken because the Bible talks about there's a brokenness that God is pleased with. But God does not want us to stay broken. He wants us to, after we have been broken, He wants to lift us up with restoration and renewal, with hope. That's God's plan. But what happened here, remember, they started crying and Ezra and Nehemiah were like, hold on. Listen, y'all stop crying. Listen, stop crying. God is working in your heart. You're responding to the Word of God like many of you are responding to the Word of God. 17 souls were saved. What happened? They heard the Word of God. They received the Word of God. And then they responded to the Word of God. You see, there's a hearing. And then there's a receiving. And praise God, there's a responding. And so when they heard that, and you remember the phrase, don't ever forget it. What happens when we hear the Word of God and we receive it and it stirs our heart? And even when it brings brokenness, we get forgiveness. And when we stand up from being broken and letting God just work in our hearts, when we come up, what does the Bible say is our strength? The joy of the Lord. That's the context of that phrase, the joy of the Lord. It's people getting right with God. And brethren, when we get right with God and we get in step with God, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm thankful that God's plans that way. I'm glad He doesn't just keep us down. I'm glad He doesn't kick us when we're down. By the way, this is just a little side note. Christians, let's don't kick Christians when they're down. Just make a little mental note. You see a Christian struggling, don't criticize them and talk bad about them. Try to help them up. But nevertheless, God restores, and that joy of the Lord is our strength. And so that's where they were stirred. That's almost, you have a hearing as the intellectual. And then the responding is, we could almost say that's the emotional part. The receiving, I should say. It gets down in our heart. And boy, it stirs. And God's moving in a service like this. Or you might even be reading your Bible by yourself. Whatever. You're before the Word of God. And there's a stirring. And then there's the third step. That's the responding. That's where many of us stop. Have no doubt there's been many a time where people have sat under preaching in this church. They've heard the Word. Then they received it. Boy, there was a stirring. God was doing a work. But when it came time to making that step of obedience and submission, it stopped. And they're still in a place of being stuck. And God is saying, you want a breakthrough? You let all three be there. All three of those need to be present. As we read here in the Word of God, I love the way these people responded. You see, when He told them, when He started opening up the Word of God in verse 13, the Bible says basically there were some dads that came, some dads of that were leaders in the congregation of the people. By the way, can I just say this? Dads, I love you with all my heart. Moms, families, I love all of you. But I'm going to tell you something, dads. The buck stops with you. You are to take the leadership of leading in the Word of God in your home. And if dad is not present, which is in some cases for sure, mom does step up. And thank God for moms that do that. I praise God for them. But dads that are in the home, you be the leader in searching the Word of God. Listen, I'm just going to say this, and I hope no one takes me the wrong way, but I think the most diligent students of the Word of God should be the dads and men in this church. Now, does that mean that the women shouldn't be great students of the Word of God and to continue to grow? No, I hope all of you do that, but you've got to understand. It's just like Navy SEALs training. Why do they go through the training they do? Why do they have to go through all these different things that prepare them? It's because they're taking the lead into some areas where no one else is trained to do. Well, you see, God has called you dads, you men, to step up and be the leaders of your home. And what happens when we just kind of pass that over to the wife, listen, that she may do it, and that's, listen, that happens, but what happens, that can build resentment in her heart. And then that ends up being a vicious cycle, because then that builds insecurity in your heart. And then it doesn't ever go well. Now, I'm just saying here, these dads got together and the preachers got together and said, look, we got to understand the Word of God more clearly. We got to lead our homes. We need to understand this Feast of the Tabernacles. We need to understand what God's doing. We need some insight and wisdom. And it comes by diving into the Word of God. You husbands, be renewed and just leading your wife in devotions and your children, saying, honey, come on, let's read the Word of God together. And don't get mad when your wife gives you a hint that you're getting slack. That's all right. I'm thankful for helpful hints, but can I just give you some encouragement, dear sisters in Christ? Be gentle. We're sensitive. Be gentle. We do need some reminders. And I'm not discouraging against that. I'm thankful when Joanna was make a comment or something that gears toward maybe reading the Word. I'm not thinking about it. I'm all caught up with some kind of other stuff and whatever. I'm thankful for those reminders. But I'm saying, in generally speaking, men, let's step up. Let's do it. And we will get some insight from God to know how to lead our homes. You young men, hey boys, what you're doing right now, you're getting ready to be leaders, future leaders in your church. You're going to be future leaders in the youth group, young people. Hey, step up. Let God use you. That's what happened here. So when they got into the Word to understand the words of the law, that's the end of verse 13. Notice what they found. They got greater insight. They found the instructions of the specific commands that Moses had given about the Feast of Tabernacles. Basically, they were understanding, being renewed. Now, some have said that this thing had been forgotten because of what is said, and I believe it's verse number 17, since the days of Joshua. But that's not true, because I'll tell you what this verse is saying. The verse is saying that there had not been the spirit and the focus and the commitment and dedication as there was since the day of Joshua. Because you'll remember, even Ezra had this celebration. You go back to Ezra, I believe, chapter 3. They celebrate this. Even Solomon, when they dedicated the Temple of Solomon, that was during the Feast of Tabernacles. So they had given attention to it. But folks, what we're basically seeing here is there was revival taking place. God's people were being stirred as they dove into the Word of God. Some of you are reading the Bible more than you have in a long time. There's a stirring taking place. Some of you are getting to church more often than you ever have because you're getting stirred by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Some of you are attending Sunday school more and more. Why? Because God's stirring your heart and you're becoming like a sponge. And you're just saying, God, give me more. Give me more. God, something great's happening in my life. Give me more. I'm thankful for that. I rejoice in that. It's just like anybody. When somebody comes over to your house and, boy, they eat well. I don't know, it just encourages you, doesn't it? It's like, man. Well, you know, when the Word of God is served here, you guys eat really well. I'm blessed by that. Thankful for you. But that's what happened. And so what was the instructions? Well, they go through, and this is where, boys, if we did go camp out, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if we do a church camp out, I'm not going to build my tent with sticks. I'm going to take my Coleman tent. I believe it's a Coleman. It might be an Ozark Trail, actually. But nevertheless, we all have different kinds of tents. We do have poles, if you call them sticks. That'll work, right? But here, can you imagine how fun it was for them kids? And boy, I can see these boys right now. And little Jewish boys, when it was time, because they said, all right, boys, we're going to go outside the city gates and we're going to go out and we're going to gather all kinds of sticks. Those myrtle trees, those pine trees, all those hardwoods, anywhere you can find sticks, boys, get them picked up. And they all went out as families and them kids and the men. It said, bring back as many sticks as you can. Why? Because everybody had to build a tent outside. It was either on top of their house. Bible says out in the streets, out in the courtyards, even around the temple. They were all over the inner city of Jerusalem. So they had to gather a lot of sticks, folks. That's a lot of people. So, you know, one thing I've read in the commentary I thought was very interesting. Could you imagine what the enemies of God thought about that? What are these crazy people doing? Gathering sticks, Sanballat and Tobiah. That's what we're doing. Why? What are sticks? Why? Because we're going to live in them for a week. Those Jewish people, they have lost their mind. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you know this as well as I do. You live the victorious Christian life, you're going to have a world around you that thinks you have lost your mind. Get used to it. It's okay. God's people have always got that accusation. They called Paul crazy. They called Jesus crazy. They've called every born again child of God that's living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit crazy people. But hey, if I'm going to be crazy for Jesus, let me be crazy. Amen? We're just going to do what God tells us to do, and that's what these people were doing. And God's going to tell us to do certain things. They're going to be out your comfort zone. People are going to look down on you. They're going to a little snicker about you. Yeah, they ain't got a fanatic and turned into a fanatic. Oh, they always talk about the Word of God and Jesus. They always want to pray. Oh, man, they don't do this anymore. They stop doing this. Oh, they think they're better than us. Nobody ever said that. You know, let me tell you what people say that. When people say that comment and think that comment about, oh, they don't do that anymore. They think they're better than us. Let me tell you what that is. That is a guilty conscience. But we don't have to be Pharisees and holier than thou when we do abstain and when we do refrain, when we do say discipline. You know what we do? We still love those people. We still be gracious and kind. Don't look down on them. But listen, it will be a conviction to them. I'm sure that happened. But you know, They may think there's nothing to that. I'm sure they thought there was nothing to these people going out and gathering sticks to come back and just do what God did. But I'm just so thankful they did it. I'm sure there could have been a crowd that said, because I've been one, God, do I really have to do that? What are people going to think out there? That's embarrassing, Lord. We're going to go get sticks and we're going to live when I got the nice house and my bed. I got to go live under a tent. Knowing good and well these kids, Lord, how are we going to do this? They could have been complaining. But you know what God says? No, you take that time. You get under the tent. You take that time to teach them kids why you're doing that. That's the purpose of it. Tell them about those years in the desert when Grandpa and Grandma couldn't come with us because they sinned against God. Remember? There's a whole generation that had to die before they could cross the Jordan because they didn't believe God. And they had to sit there, listen, Grandma and Granddaddy, they were saved people. They did love the Lord, but they complained, many of them, so many times that God says, all right, I'm just going to let your children go in, but you're not going in. That's why, children, we got to stay faithful. Young men, young ladies, learn to love God now. Parents, you keep pouring into them. Keep leading them in the Word. Keep bringing them to church. Let God get a hold of their heart at a young age. That's what the purpose of the tents were for. It's the Feast of the Tabernacles. God's goodness, God's faithfulness. He fed us in the wilderness. He let our shoes stay intact. They didn't wear out. God provided, and God always provides, Jehovah Jireh. God's always leading. God's always faithful. We can trust our God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we see here very clearly they just obeyed. They came back, they built them. And the Bible says in verse 17, at the end of verse 17, you ought to underline this if you do that in your Bible. And there was very great gladness. Do you know there is great joy in serving the Lord? There's joy in serving Jesus. And some people take that the wrong way, because some people would say, yeah, if you serve Jesus, you'll never have heartaches. Boy, that's a lie if I've ever heard one. We get heartaches as God's people. But you see, in the midst of heartaches, there's a deep-seated joy. You see, joy in the midst of trials, it's not the whole substitution idea. Like, in other words, we substitute one for the other. We get joy instead of trials. No, what we do, it's not substitution, it's transformation. Joy, the joy of the Lord is transforming me in the midst of a trial. I'm being tested. You're being tested constantly. Why? Because we're precious to the Lord. The only things that get tested, ladies and gentlemen, are those things that are precious. Gold, silver, precious stone. Those are ones that are put to the test. And God's leading us and strengthening us in those times. And what we see here is obedience. And some people may say, yeah, look at them living in those tents. I'm telling you what, I would much rather live under a tent with the power of God on my life than be in a mansion filled with wickedness. And that's what they were teaching those children. Look, I know we got a home there, and let's just make application. I know we got air conditioner. I know we got a microwave and an oven and a refrigerator. I know we got the comfy beds and the couches. I know we got that. But children, what we're doing right now is we're just taking some time. We're just taking some time to remember how good God is. He's done a lot for us. Let's think about it. Sometimes we get so spoiled, children. Daddy gets spoiled. Mama gets spoiled. We get caught up in the world, and sometimes we don't even realize it sneaks up on us. And it's just time. Let's just set aside some time. Just think about how good God is. Man, I'm not suggesting we go out and camp out under sticks for a week. But I'm telling you, church, there's some truth to that we ought to practice today. And let there be gladness in our heart, even if we're without. Because that is where the joy of the Christian is greatest, is most vividly displayed, is in the trial. Anybody can be joyful when everything's going good. I hesitate to even make this confession, but I'm just going to be a little vulnerable here. My heart is so filled with gratitude because of the things I was able to witness this past week. And there's been a little trembling in my heart because I know the enemy's going to, he's going to really try to attack. I'm sure of that's his character. It's his character. He's going to try to rob the seed of God's word, the seed of God's working. He's going to try to attack us. But you know what? God has reminded me, son, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. He may attack, and he will attack. It's not a may, he's going to. But by the grace of God, I want to have the whole armor of God. Hey, young men, wear the whole armor of God. Put it on every day. Hold up that shield of faith. Just believe God. Just trust him. Simply trusting every day, trusting him along life's way. Hey, that's what we're doing. We're trusting God even in the midst of the battles, in the midst of the trials. That's what these people were learning. Listen, there was a reason for the Feast of the Tabernacles, for those tents. Listen to what this word says in Psalm chapter 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Hey, young people, your parents may not have all the things that your friends have. They may not be able to go to all the places that your friends go. They may not be able to do all these different things that the world is doing. But I want to tell you, you better believe doing without those things that are sinful, I'm telling you, are a lot better. You'll enjoy them. You will benefit from them. It will change your life. Parents, the last thing we need to do is to feel the pressure of trying to fit in. It's not comfortable, but praise God, I'm glad a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Proverbs 15:16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. I just quoted that one. But we see here that it's important to understand the heart of these people. Chapter 9 is going to take us into another realm, a realm of brokenness. God is bringing revival, and boy, they get that. It just keeps building. I love this book. Revival's breaking through. It keeps building. But let me just close with this. It's almost, kids, it's almost like this water right here. By the way, thank you for whoever put it up here. That Bible Time booster. I wasn't here in the rally. Did Mr. Gideon drink the water and you guys would cheer? He didn't do that. Okay. Some of the evangelists, to be able to get some water in while they're preaching in here, he'll have the kids cheer while he's drinking and he puts it down and they stop. So they get into that. But don't start cheering when I drink, okay? But this water right here is, please correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I should have studied this more before I give this illustration. This water is very good. It's delicious. It's refreshing. And it's made of three parts. It's often called H2O. I believe that's two parts hydrogen. All right. And then one part oxygen. Is that right? H2O. All right. Three parts is what makes it what it is. It truly satisfies. It quenches the thirst. It brings nourishment. It hydrates me and helps my body to function. I can't go without this for any really more than 3 days. Maybe some have gone more, but not much more. I have to have that. It's three parts. And my final illustration to you, church, and to my own heart, if we want to see God break through in our lives, there's got to be a hearing. And it's got to continue down to the heart and be a receiving. Bring it in. It's a submission to it. Lord, I'm hearing what you're speaking to me, God. I got to do something about that, what you're speaking to me about. And then thirdly, there is a responding. That's where there's action. That's where the feet move. That's where decisions are made. That's where you walk out of these doors and you put your receiving to action and do some doing. And that's where your life will be like this water. Be living water. You will bring nourishment to people around you. You will indeed impact people greatly. People that are thirsting to death. People that need the living water. That's what's going to happen. That's why James, ladies and gentlemen, said, don't just be hearers only, but be doers of the word. He said, that man that hears the word and is not a doer is like a man that beholds his face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner he was. You know what that means? It's like you this morning. I'm sure all of us spent more than 2 seconds before the mirror. Well, I think most of us, all right? I saw 12 people doing this right here. Of course we did. At least more than a couple seconds. We just didn't go by the bathroom mirror and when we got out of the bed and what? You know what we did? We at least did a little bit of looking. What he's talking about in that first part is the people that do that to the Word of God. They just take a glance. But the second part of the verse says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the Word of God, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's the dear sister in Christ or brother in Christ that'll take this Bible and just won't do a but to open up this word and let it get in. Come to a preaching message like this, Bible in hand, and you just give it to me, preacher. God, speak. I want to grow. I'm hungry. That's the diving in. That's beholding. That's continuing. That's what these people did in Nehemiah 9. There's revival taking place. That's the way we want to be. You want to be blessed? That's where the blessing comes. So let's do it, church. Let's just say, God, we want to hear. We want to receive. And dear God, we want to obey. We're just going to do what you tell us to do. And when we fall, we're going to get back up and do it all over again. And again, and again, and again, and again, until you call us home. I've ever wondered, does God ever get tired of me coming to Him with repentance? Our God's got the longest fuse ever known to mankind. Does He give correction along the way? Oh, yeah. He's a great Father. But He never gets tired of His son and daughter coming to Him. Saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know where you're at. But God may be saying, build a tent. And your response needs to be, sure, Lord. Take over. Totally unreserved obedience. Listen, there have been times of history where the winds of the Spirit have moved upon God's people. And He's burdened them to pray, to search the Scriptures, to confess their sins. And there's a sincere revival taking place. And God has seen fit to bring fresh life to His people. It happened in this day. And our church, I believe with all my heart, it can happen in our day. I believe it is happening. And I'm excited about it. And so thank God it is God that's doing a great work. Let's pray.